In the 16th verse here, Paul says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory in." Now, he did preach the gospel, not of charge. And we brought this out last Sunday night. He says, "But I still am having, even though I'm preaching the charge. For the yea, woe is me if I preach." He says, "I have a compulsion and pull me into the ministry." And remember, on the Damascus Road, he stopped Paul and he saved Paul and put Paul in the ministry and made him an apostle. And he says, "Woe is me if I preach not." He says, "I'm miserable when I'm not preaching." He says, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." And the gospel, of course, is, "If I do this thing willingly, I have a reward." Now, Paul says, if I preach the gospel, and I make the issue clear that it's Jesus Christ, and I do this because I want to do it, and I want to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, then I am going to receive a reward for presenting the gospel and preaching the gospel. One of these days, God is going to reward every person who has been faithful to do what he said to do. And Paul says, I'm going to receive a reward if I do it willingly. And if against my will, and if here's a first class of assumption, we're going to assume for a moment that it's true. If against my will, we're assuming it's against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Now, a dispensation means a period of time. He says, a period of time has been committed unto me. This period of time where he went to the Gentiles, and he was the apostle to the Gentiles. And it's committed unto him. It was committed unto him in the past, and the result went on forever. And he received this. It was something that God put upon him, committing him this gospel to the Gentiles. He said in other places that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, we are Gentiles. And we've been alive today, Paul would have been, his main goal would have been to win people like you and I. Not the Jew, but you and I. Other people besides the Jew. Then the 18th verse, "What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge." He says, when I'm preaching now, I want to make the gospel without charge. I don't want people to ever think they can pay me for giving them the gospel. You know, occasionally you run into somebody like this. I remember on one occasion that some man called me over to his house and wanted me to talk to him about the Lord. And when I got ready to leave, he wanted to pay me. A fellow wanted to pay me for praying for him one day. People think that you can pay for this kind of thing. But Paul says, no. The gospel is without charge. You see, salvation is a free gift. It's yours freely. It's already been bought and paid for in the person of Jesus Christ. But it's free to you. It's been paid for. But you do not have to pay for it. In fact, you cannot pay for it. When you try to pay for it, then you leave the gospel. The gospel is good news. He says, I want the gospel to be without charge, that I abuse not my right in the gospel. He says, now I'm not going to abuse it because I have some laws that I'm under. And then he's going to give here in the next few verses the law of expediency. And this is toward unsaved people. And they're in three classes. There's first the Jew, and then there's the Gentile, and then there's a weak man. Now notice the 19th verse. For though I am free from all, this is the law of liberty. I am free, Paul says. I don't have to give out the gospel. I don't have to witness for Christ. I don't have to do anything for him. I do it because I want to do it. I do it willingly. And if you're serving the Lord tonight out of duty, or you're witnessing for Christ, or you're doing what you're doing for the Lord because you feel like you have to. And you know, there are a lot of people who come to church because they feel like they have to. They feel like if they don't go to church, they'll go to hell. Well, I have news for you tonight. You can walk out of this church and never enter another door of another church anywhere in the world and still die and go to heaven. Because it's not by what you do, it's by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, you go to church for a different purpose. There's a reason for attending church. And that's to learn and to study the Word of God. That's the fellowship with other Christians. And if you're not saved, it's a good place to understand how to have eternal life. But it will not save you. So Paul says, I am free from all men. Yet have I made myself servant unto all. Even though I have the law of liberty and I'm free and I can do as I please, yet I have made myself a servant. And notice, he has made himself a servant. Paul has decided this himself. He says, I am your servant that I might gain the more. He says, I want to gain people. I want to gain souls for Christ. Then the 20th verse, and unto the Jews I am become as a Jew. Now Paul says when he was around the Jews, he acted like a Jew. Paul was a Jew. He was a Pharisee. He was trained in the Jewish religion and he knew all their ins and outs. And when he was around them, he acted like them. Notice what he says. He says, I am become as a Jew that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law. Now the Jew had placed himself under the law, and they became very legalistic. And they said you had to keep the law. So Paul, when he was around a Jew, he did not break the law. If it was on the Sabbath day, then he would observe the law of the Sabbath day, even though it didn't make any difference whether he broke it or not. You know, the Sabbath day is Saturday. And on the Sabbath day, they couldn't travel over 1 mile. And anybody who travels over 1 mile on Saturday is broken the Sabbath day. But when he was around you, he wouldn't dare travel over a mile on Saturday. Because if he did, they wouldn't listen to him, you see. They wouldn't let the true issue be Jesus Christ. All they could think about, yeah, you're a renegade. Yeah, all you want to do is just desecrate God's holy day. Not do what God has said. You're bucking out of the traces. And that's all they could see was Paul breaking and desecrating God's holy day, the Sabbath day, Saturday. But Paul says, when I'm around them, I'm under the law. He says, not being myself under the law. He says, I know I'm not under the law. I know that the law doesn't have any bind on me because Christ is the end of the law to them that believe. He tells us in Romans, the 10th chapter, the 4th verse, and you might jot this verse down, Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law to them that believe. And he says, I know I'm not under the law, but I put myself under the law that I might have this testimony. See, I'm exercising the law of expediency, so I'll have a testimony. And you know, there are a lot of things that you can do as a Christian. But if you do it, the unsaved people won't listen to you when you witness to them. So what does Paul say? I'm going to lay that thing aside. I'm going to forget that because the important thing is winning people for Christ. He says, I do this that I might gain them that are under the law. And then the 21st verse, he's talking to the Gentiles. When I'm around Gentiles, to them that are without law, and that's the Gentile. The Gentile was without the law. The Gentiles didn't have the Mosaic law. He says, when I'm around them, I am as without law. I don't talk about the Ten Commandments. I don't talk about the law of Moses. He's saying, being not without the law of God, and without the law to God. He says, I'm not lawless. I don't go out and commit adultery. I don't go out and get drunk because the law says you're not to do this. But he didn't make this the issue. See? The Gentile knew nothing about drunkenness. They could get drunk. In fact, this was part of their religion. As we have pointed out earlier in the book of Corinthians. They had their girlfriends. They had their prostitutes. And they would go into them. And this was part of it. He didn't make that the issue. What did he make the issue? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He says, but I'm not without the law. I don't go and get drunk when I'm around these Gentiles. Just don't make an issue out of it. That I might gain them that are without the law. When I'm around the Gentiles, I'm like a Gentile. Yet I don't buck out of the traces.
And then the 22nd verse, and to the weak, and there are a lot of weak people. There are a lot of weak people in this world. There are a lot of people in this world that are offended so easily. Very, very easily. And Paul says, when I'm around a weak person, I become as a weak, as this weak person, that I might gain the weak. The important thing is gain. Winning them to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then he says, I have made all things to all men that I might by all means save some of them. I might be able to lead them to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. This is what's important in my life. And this I do for the gospel's sake. Gospel is the good news, that I might be partakers of it with you. Then he makes an analogy, an athletic analogy. In fact, Paul uses athletic terms quite often, and he uses one here. He says, know ye not, or don't you know, that they which run in a race run all. Now, when you enter a race, you enter an athletic competition, everybody competes. But only one receives the prize. There's only one first place. There's only one who stands on the platform and receives the trophy. And Paul says, so run that ye may attain. Now when you're running, when you're living your life, you live your life that you might obtain a prize. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, what does this mean? This is a technical word. To strive for the mastery means to enter the Isthmus Games or the Olympic Games or whatever it was. Now, how could you do that? There are actually six things that are involved, and you need to jot these down. The first thing, you had to be a citizen of the town or the country. To be able to run in a race, in an Olympic game or an Isthmus game, which was actually more popular back in those days than the Olympic game, you had to be a citizen. And to be able to run for the Lord, run in this race we're talking about, you've got to be saved. You've got to have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior to be able to enter the race. And the second thing, you had to enter the gymnasium. They had gymnasiums there. And if you could prove your citizenship and you wanted to compete in the game, then you entered the gymnasium. This means you were separated from the rest of the world. The gymnasium was an enclosure. And when you went through that gate, you stayed there for 10 months. That's the third thing. You lived in this gymnasium for 10 solid months. You never left for any reason. You were separated for 10 months. And while you were there, you had to do everything that they told you to do. It didn't make any difference what game you were going to run. If you were going to run the dashes, you did the same thing that the shot putters did, or the javelin throws. It didn't make any difference. And every day they would have a trumpet call. Now, while you were in there for 10 months, you see, they had all kinds of weather. They had hot weather. They had cold weather. And when they blew that trumpet, it didn't make any difference if you had fever 110 or 100, well, 100, you wouldn't have it that high, 103. If you had fever 103, you had to get up and you had to go out there on that field and you had to exercise. Any time that they called. And the only clothes that you wore was oil. That was it. Oil. If it was 16 degrees, you wore oil. If it was 102, you wore oil. That was all. Everybody did the same exercise, regardless of what event that you were in. Then, after you had to answer all the trumpet calls, and if you missed one trumpet call, you were a castaway, you were cast out. You were disqualified. Then you also had to eat on the training table. You had to eat what they put before you. And this was a diet of dried fig, lean meat, wheat bread, and that was about it. No sweets whatsoever. If you had to eat, they'd die. And if your parents sneaked in a chocolate pie, out you went. If your parents got sick or one of them died and you had to leave to go to the funeral, you didn't come back in. You were disqualified. You had to go in. You had to stay in. You had to eat on the training table. And you had to take the exercise. Now this is what Paul says here, every man that strives for the master. Now to be able to live the Christian life and win people to Christ, you're going to have to discipline yourself. You're going to have to discipline yourself just like these people did. Paul says, don't you know that they which run the race, they all run? But everybody doesn't receive the crown. Everybody doesn't receive the prizes. Because, you see, they all don't run well. They don't discipline themselves. And, you know, this is one of the things that our society has done today. Discipline has been broken down. Parents don't discipline their children anymore. I say parents. Most parents don't. The Bible says that you're to be disciplined. And you're going to, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I just don't feel like studying my Bible today. And so they don't do it. Why? No discipline. Oh, well, I just don't feel like praying, so they don't pray. No discipline. I don't feel like studying my book, so I don't. I don't feel like going to work today, so they just don't go. I just don't feel like going to church. No discipline in their life. Let me tell you something. The Bible points out if you're going to produce for God, you're going to have some discipline in your life. You can't just run just like you want to run. Do it the way you want to do it. You do it God's way, or you don't run. You don't win the prize. Every man that strives for the master is temperate. In other words, he goes in, he stays in training, he answers the trumpet call, he does what the Lord says, he feeds on the Word of God, he has a diet. He may not like the diet too well, but he'll still keep on eating and keep on keeping on. Keep on exercising. Notice what it says. It's temperate in all things. Now they do it. These men who entered the gymnasium, they went in to receive a corruptible crown. Do you know what kind of crown they received? When they actually went through all this for 10 months, all this exercise and all this hot and all this cold and the food that they didn't particularly like maybe, when they came in first prize and they stepped up on the stand, do you know what they got? They got a prize, and it was just a bunch of leaves that they put on top of their head. And that was it. That's all they got. That's all they got. And you know, it seems like that's what all a Christian gets. And really it is here. But notice what he says. He says, I therefore so run, not uncertainly. Paul says, now I'm not running uncertainly. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. I have trained myself. I have disciplined myself. I have gone through the program, God's program of understanding God's Word and knowing what it has to say and how to fight and how to produce for Him. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Now this is a boxer's term. And back in those days when they had a boxing event in one of the Isthmus games, the boxers, they had fur-lined gloves, and then it had cowhide on the top of that. And then interwoven in this cowhide, they had bits of metal and sharp rock. And when they fought to kill. And usually somebody, whoever was in that event, the loser, usually died. And Paul says, now I'm not up here shadowboxing. You know, I know a lot of Christians are like that. They're shadowboxing. I do this. I used to be a football player. I'm a has-been. And I sit up there in the stadium and I see somebody not throwing a block and I can just see myself down. If I'd have been down there, I'd have lowered the boom on him. You know, I'd have really torn up. That's shadowboxing. Now, if I was down on the field, it'd have been something altogether different. I'm sure he'd probably knocked my teeth down my throat. But it's easy sitting up in the stands, you know, the shadow box. And it's easy to say, I'm going to really do something for God. Boy, I'm going to really have a testimony for the Lord. And nothing in the world but shadow boxing because you don't know what you're doing. You don't have a real opponent. Listen, you've got to be able to throw that punch accurately. And it takes time and study of the Word of God to be able to throw this punch accurately. It took me 5 years to be able to learn how to throw the punch accurately. 5 long years of study, at least an hour a day and more of the Word of God before I could really understand. I really understood how to witness for Christ and win people to Christ. 5 years. And I took every shortcut I knew. Paul says, I'm not fighting the air. He says, I keep my body under. To keep his body under means I toughen my body. I discipline myself. This is the 27th verse. He says, I'm not beating the air, but I'm toughening my body. I'm keeping my body up. I'm bringing it into subjection. I control my body. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, when I preach to others, I am disqualified myself. Now, what does it mean to be disqualified? It doesn't mean to lose your salvation. It just means to lose your reward. And you can certainly lose reward while you're here if you don't run accurately, if you don't know where you're going or how you're doing. I mentioned a moment ago that when this man who won first prize in the event, all that he got was a little crown of ivy leaves or oak leaves. That's all he got at the game. But you know, it's a little bit different when he got home. You know what he did when he got home? And this world's not our home, you know. And we may get a crown of ivy leaves here. But let me tell you what happened to those people in Greece when they won first place. Before they got there, the men of the town knocked a hole in the wall. And he didn't come through the gate. He entered the city through this wall, through this hole in the wall. You know, I've ever seen a little sign, what's that guy's name that was here? Kilroy was here, yeah. You know this little sign, Kilroy? All right, they put a little plaque over this. They seal that hole back up, and they put a little plaque, and they say, Kilroy came through here. They say your name, you came through here. So everybody knows. This is where you came through, so they won't forget you. And when you got through the hole on the other side, they had a golden chariot there, and you rode through the city for the ticker tape parade. See? You're home now. You rode through the city. Everybody saw you. And you were sitting on top of that chariot, you know, and all the hometown people are cheering for you because you won first prize. And listen, if you run well now when we get to heaven, that's our home. They're going to have a ticker tape parade for you, too. And not only that, but the best poet in town would make an ode to you. And when you pulled up in the town square, then this poet would stand up and he would read his ode to you. Maybe you won the discus, or maybe you won the 100-yard dash, or maybe you won some other event. But he would write a poem to you appropriate for the occasion. And then there was a sculpture. He would hammer out a statue of you to be placed there in the town square to be looked at from now on out with your name at the bottom of it. So everybody would know, there you are. You won first place. And not only that, but then you received a free pass to all future games. And then your children were educated at public expense. You didn't have to worry about it. See, they had to send them all their kids to private schools. Because they didn't have any public schools there. And they were educated at public expense. And last but not least, you never had to pay any more income tax. But what did you get at the game? A little old crown of ivy leaves. And that's all it seems like we get sometimes for all of our labor for the Lord, is just a little crown of ivy leaves. But let me tell you something, people. if you strive lawfully and you run for the Lord accurately and you stay in shape and you know what you're doing and you continue to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to win the prize. You'll be able to win people for Christ. And even though you won't get much reward or maybe none at all here, and it really doesn't make a whole lot of difference, when you get home, that's when it matters. That's when it really counts. And this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the grave. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. That should be our cry and our prayer. Let's bow to prayer. With your head bowed and eyes closed, we've been talking basically tonight to Christians. You certainly cannot run unless you have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm at, I wonder right now where you're sitting, if you believe that Christ died in your place and paid for your sins, giving you eternal life. If you haven't, you can trust Him right now. Salvation and eternal life does not come by walking an aisle and going to church. That has nothing to do with eternal life. That has to do with service. That has to do with running accurately and doing what God wants you to do and being under His will and under His control. But right now, right where you're sitting, if you do not know you have eternal life, you can. If you believe the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, miraculously meet you. The Bible says, believe that Jesus Christ died in your place and paid for your sins, and you'll have everlasting life. Salvation is based on your faith in what Christ did for you when He died. Have you trusted Him as your Savior? If you haven't, you can right now, right where you're sitting. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's God's word. For God so loved the world, that's you. He gave His only begotten Son, that's Jesus, to do what? To die on the cross and pay for your sins. That whosoever believeth in Him, notice what it said, it didn't say anything else, but believing in Him shall not perish, shall not go to hell, but have everlasting life. Will you trust Him right now? Believing means to take Him at His word. Will you trust Him? Right where you're sitting, right where you're sitting. Father, we do thank Thee tonight for eternal life that we have by faith in Jesus Christ. And we pray for everyone.